Permanent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Permanent Footprint, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. For those of you who are waiting for the show to begin at the top of the hour, we apologize. Some technical difficulties, as often happens on Internet radio, but we are here with you, and we're glad to have you with us on this June the 10th. Or if you're on the East Coast of the United States, it's now the 11th of June. And we just turned a minute past 1:11, so we had the crazy 11s on my digital clock. What is going on in the world? That's a good question to ask. I think if you asked any bureaucracy in Washington, D.C., they'd probably tell you they'll get back to you. And then you'll never hear from them again. And that may be the way we get the government out of our hair, is to call them up and ask them a question that requires them to respond. Of course, they don't like responding. They don't like coming up with answers, so they'll leave us alone. I think that's an ingenious way to look at the issue of what the government's not doing for us these days. And although they're intruding in every aspect of our life, all you have to do is send them an email, maybe make a phone call or two, and wait for them to respond. It'll never happen. And I think it'll just sort of go away that way. Tonight's guest is a film producer. She has been an author and editor of magazines and books prior to becoming a film producer. She produced a rather well-acclaimed, well-received a documentary film on 9/11 called 9/11 Mysteries, and she is back again tonight. We may touch on that subject, but we have some other issues that we want to talk about. She is very much into the, let's say, the ever-changing states of consciousness, especially those of humans who are interested in finding the truth and advancing, moving to a higher place in our evolution, and so we will be talking about that topic and some other spiritual issues. And with that, I would like to welcome back for a second time tonight's guest, Sophia Smallstorm. Sophia, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
How is the weather in your parts of the world these days? Let me ask you that.
Well, Don, more than the weather is the condition of the sky. I was driving back to my house yesterday, and I noticed that the hills that you normally see in the distance are not perceivable any longer, and that is due to the enormous amount of metal particulate that is sitting right in our midst, above our heads and all around us.
Mm-hmm.
The amount that they have sprayed is changing our ability to see the world, literally. And somebody told me that she lives in the New Mexico desert, and there is absolutely no street light or any kind of electrical lighting at night there. And if you plug in a simple 125-watt lamp from Home Depot and you shine it into the night sky, you see the particulate. It's like snowflakes.
Now, are we talking about smog, or we're talking about what they're putting in the chemtrails?
This is the chemtrail material.
Mm-hmm.
This is the spray. The spray is a saturation of the atmosphere, and they've already saturated. It's now about maintenance and concentration. So It's everywhere. And so, you know, when you ask about the weather, the weather has become secondary. There is no ability any longer to really see properly, to see the world around you, because it's like having cataracts or something, you know? Our lenses mm-hmm. are being clouded. I know I'm using lots of medical examples from the eye, but we should be, the EPA has changed its reference point. It used to tell us that 40 miles was visibility, constituted good visibility. Today it's down to 10 miles. And that's pretty pathetic. That's like the SAT scores, you know?
Yeah, and it's starting to get down there near some certain president's IQs, too. I was in Phoenix a little over a year ago, say around a year and a half ago, and I had actually driven from northern Arizona southward to Phoenix, and as I got near the Prescott area, I noticed the chemtrails, and virtually all the way from Prescott to Phoenix, which is a good 2 hour drive. Now, these planes were busy making designs in the sky, and by the time I got to Phoenix, to the airport, you couldn't even see across the street, literally. And I know the phenomenon that you're talking about, where you can't see the foothills or the mountains that surround a particular city that's in a valley, let's say like Los Angeles or Phoenix or Albuquerque. It was amazing to me that it was as though the people around didn't even notice that was happening. They were just
It's happened very slowly, and it's now part of our daily life to see the spraying, and people aren't aware. It's almost like one has to show you. Somebody has to take you by the hand and point to the sky and say, hey, look, that's not normal. Clouds don't come out of planes. Just think about it. They shouldn't. And when somebody points out something as obvious as that, then the other person starts to see. And so in this regard, it's almost as though this is a whole mind control exercise. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to pry you into wakefulness about this particular subject. Otherwise, you're not going to notice it.
Yes. Well, you know, I've on many of my shows over the past year, I've talked about this issue, and I brought experts on, and I'm talking about people that know what is actually going on in the Air Force, in the intelligence agencies, with the New World Order, with the drug companies, the bioweapons industries. So we know that all these things are tied together. And it has a lot to do with this slow extermination of what they like to call the useless eaters, those of us who don't happen to kowtow to their corrupt agenda. And I'm almost sorry I asked how the weather is, because no weather.
There's no weather, and it's just a matter of can you see or can you not see what's happening around you. But, you know, I mentioned that it was a mind control thing, and that's hard for people to grasp. But that leads us into the arena of consciousness. I am reading a book now that somebody gave me yesterday called The Montauk Project. Mm-hmm. By Preston Nichols.
Yes, I'm familiar with that book.
Oh, it's I read 100 pages between going to sleep last night and waking up this morning. And I wish I could have read it through the night, but I didn't. I still have about 50 pages to go. But I'm telling you, this book is making me see differently. And that's what it's all about. It's about seeing. If you can see with a capital S, and you can keep seeing, and you can understand that you have options among parallel realities even, and that we aren't living locked in this prison of linear time and these assaults, that we have options, and those are within us. We are beings. We're not just humans. You know, what they're trying to do is take the being out of us. They are classifying us as humans only, but we're not. We're not just like so many rats, Charles River rats, or a certain kind of ant. We are human beings, and the being part of us is able to meet all of this and do something about it. The human part of us isn't necessarily.
That's true. I agree with you. Now, Since you mentioned the Montauk book, I want to just mention for your edification and those in the listening audience that I have spoken in the past at great length with Al Bielek. Now, there are a number of people within the intelligence agencies that like to debunk what Al Bielek says, because he's basically speaking the truth about a lot of things. And in fact, Preston Nichols and Al Bielek know each other very well. And so if you hear the story from one, you're going to get the same information that you're going to get from the other one. And as difficult as some of that is to comprehend, those of us that have studied metaphysics and understand how metaphysical laws work, really those are the laws of the universe. I'm not talking about the corruption of universal law, but I'm talking about the understanding of it, the application of the principles, and the honoring of its integrity. Those issues are the ones that Preston Nichols or Al Bielek would speak volumes about. They'll tell you flat out about the chair at Montauk. They'll tell you about the different modalities of cloaking devices that were tested out, and ways to read into time, to read as if you can see the past or the future and determine what the probabilities are, but even travel there in that reality. So you're getting into multidimensionality, parallel timelines, and a lot of other issues that most people would think were purely science fiction.
And right, even and though this is, we're talking the 1960s and the 1970s. We're not, I mean, imagine what they know about today.
Oh, it even goes back before that. I mean, it even goes back into the 1940s.
Yes, of course. But when Nichols was ambling around in Montauk, he was discovering an active program that had taken place in the 60s.
Bam. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the story of the USS Eldridge, that is a very spooky story.
Mm-hmm.
Transported as it was in both time and in space, and the sailors all messed up as a result, and then they just kind of let them all go, and then all those people that they put through the time warp at Montauk, and they just picked up derelicts and winos, and they've lost thousands of Long Island derelicts in time and space. This is sad. What are all those derelicts doing wandering in the universe?
Well, you know, if you know that there's a God, if you know that there's a creator, and that eventually justice is meted out for these types of activities and these crimes against the human beings of the universe, then you can rest assured that that those people will be taken care of if they're not being taken care of now. It's amazing that with all the contribution that Al Bielek made in his life, the part of his personal life that was just taken over for experimental purposes. It's amazing the intestinal fortitude this man has, even though he's attacked constantly with these electronic weapons and all the other means that they use to silence an individual. Well, you know, they don't want to take responsibility for the fact that they put him through that, and that some aspect of what they're doing only lasts so long, and that one regains their senses and comes around and tells the rest of us these what appear to be outlandish stories that suddenly ring of the truth when you hear them countless times from various other people. These are not disinformation projects when they come from someone who has not only sacrificed his whole life, but even in his twilight years is still battling these demons. And I say these demons, they're not his demons. They're the ones putting him through this, if you get my meaning, I'm sure.
Well, yes. There's a destructive force, or many, and then there's a constructive or expansive force. And We have to choose which one we align with. And some of us are put through a metaphysical test in our own lives. I've talked to people who have been approached by dark forces and asked to serve them. And they have had to reject and struggle with escaping the overture. You know, so there is some kind of darkness. And I don't speak in religious terms. I'm not somebody who refers to God the Creator on a frequent basis. In fact, I don't refer to God the Creator at all. I try to operate outside that terminology so that I can make sense to people who aren't religious, per se. But there are dark elements. There is a dark intelligence, or several, at work in this universe. And there are other forces that are much... that seem much more understated, that are much more benevolent. But what interests me is the exponent of the dark force seems to be much higher here on Earth than the light force at this time. Again, I have to use that word time carefully, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if you were to follow creation as it's described in the Bible, or any other literature that brings forth a message of prophecy that was transcribed and brought before mankind to be an example as to what the universal laws are and how they are to be followed, there are countless well, I don't know if you would call them stories, but there are many accounts, we'll say, of certain people that walked the earth with a message from God. This has occurred throughout history, and this has gone on for thousands of years.
There are still a lot of people who reject all of that, and I want to reach those people. So if I include the word God and Creator in my... language, I am not reaching those people.
Well, let me say this, Sophia, that they have the option to be an atheist or to be agnostic. They have that option. My message is one of knowing God experientially. I'm not speaking out of a belief system. I'm speaking about my experience. So I have very strong convictions about the fact that what exists was created. It didn't happen by accident out of total nothingness. And so even the person that says they're an atheist or they're agnostic, because the proof that they feel they must have is not in their face, or because they can't see the proof, doesn't mean that I have to exclude what I know. And I'm not talking about belief. So I will refer to God on my radio show. I don't require you to do that.
Right.
But you don't have to make excuses for it, though.
Yes. I'm not making excuses. I'm telling you the way that I speak, and it's without that particular term, because I find that people will start rejecting what I'm saying.
Well, people actually don't. Well, I'll disagree with you on that, in that I talk about God all the time. There's not a show that goes by, and I've yet to be criticized about bringing God into the picture.
I'm not criticizing you. I'm just telling you how I speak. I'm pointing out a difference in the way we're going to speak about this. That's all.
Okay. That's fine. I'm just making a point here, and I'm not attacking you.
I get your point. Don't worry.
Okay. You know, if we talk about spirit, what does spirit connect to? You can say it connects to all things. From what do all things come from? From where do all things come? If I were to ask you that question, where would you say?
Well, I don't want to define such that my definitions have to feel right to you or not. I really don't need to define all these different terms. I was talking about consciousness in a more general sense. And
well, it's got to come from somewhere. I mean, I'm responding to the fact that you brought up consciousness, or you brought up the evil, the out of balance of
there
evil.
There are dark forces, yes, but I can't say that they're satanic or they're anti-God or any of that. I can't use that language at this time.
Okay.
It doesn't work in the discussion for me as I'm trying to reach people. That's just, you know, you and I are describing different ways of operating, and I choose to operate in this language because it seems to work better for me.
Is this, do you mind if I ask you, Sophia, mm-hmm. is this something you learned from studying with someone? Was this something taught to you, or did you come to this awareness, this state of consciousness on your own?
I chose to operate this way on my own, based on my experiences. And
enlighten me a little bit, because I'm trying to understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's a lot of very personal stuff here that I don't really want to go into in a public forum. But just to say, as I've said already, that when you talk about God the Creator, it is not a language that's understood by everybody on the earth. And if you want people who are, let's call them agnostic or atheistic, to start thinking in terms of consciousness, that there are levels on which they can operate that create more options for them, they are going to listen if you don't force them to speak in terms of something they don't believe in. So that's why I choose to language it this way.
Okay, I will honor that. Now, if I can respond to what you said, a belief requires an assumption that something is so because someone else told them it's so. So that's not based on knowledge, and that's not based upon independent thinking. Now, if you're claiming that an agnostic or an atheist has a right to believe in what they believe, they are no more correct than someone who is believing in a God, because all of them are assuming something. Now, when you take one's experience, the atheist has no experience other than his or her disconnection or separation from God. And it's in the admission of what they call themselves. An agnostic is unsure one way or the other. So they are in the middle, and they are not a believer, and they are not an unbeliever. They're sort of in a mental purgatory, if you want to call it that.
But, Don, you can't characterize these people. I'm speaking of people as individuals. If I'm going to have a one-on-one conversation with somebody, I've got to reach them as an individual. I cannot stick them in categories like you just described.
No,
they are going to be so offended. And
no,
my
no,
point
I'm not offending people. I'm going by your definition.
You're
talking about a belief system. That's the problem with the world today, is everyone is believing and no one is knowing. There's a difference from your actual experience and your being in touch with something. If you don't know God, you cannot know what it is to have God's hand on your life. Okay? You cannot communicate with God.
I can't go anywhere in this interview if you're going to insist that everybody has to know God. I mean, have an interview. I mean, very heated about something that you don't
something
need
that,
to be
that I'm
about.
Very convicted about. But I'm
yes,
not.
But
I, the point is not to argue here. That's
but
not
you're
what's
arguing
going on.
With me.
No,
I'm trying
no.
to tell you that I'm trying to reach people on an individual basis with language that doesn't cause them to shut down.
Okay, Sophia, you opened the door when I asked you the question, how did you arrive at this conviction that it's safer for you, that you can reach more people if you avoid any mention of God or any mention of creation or any mention of a oneness of the universe, that to avoid that is safe, and you said based upon experience. However, when I ask you what that experience is, you refuse to answer. So you want to drag me into a quagmire of nothingness and make my listening audience watch you skirt around the issues. I can take you off my show. You don't have to refuse to go to answer my questions. I can have you removed from my show. All I have to do is ask my engineer to press the button and disconnect this call.
That's fine if that's what you want to do.
Well, you're not going to come here and disrespect me on my show.
I'm not. I'm just
I'm giving you a forum to talk. If you want to talk sensibly, don't make a point and then refuse to answer the question because it's not comfortable for you or you're afraid of offending a listener you don't know.
We can't have this discussion because you're very heated and angry and it's not working.
No, I'm not angry at all.
No,
I'm being very
firm. I'm going to ask to be let out of this interview. So thank you for tonight's opportunity.
Marcella, push the button and disconnect her. Thank you very much. Folks, we are going to take a short pause for the cause and we'll be right back. You are, believe it or not, listening to Evident Footprints on BBSradio.com. We'll be right back. So, don't go away.
The Idaho Observer, a monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Back here with Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Boy, we had some fireworks there. I have to tell my listening audience, I have never, ever removed someone, or to use the colloquial term, kicked them off of my radio show. Ever have I done that. Now, I've kicked a few drunks off of my stage when I was performing music in different parts of the world. Those things happen. I have never, ever, ever been so insulted by someone that is not going to allow me to make a statement or ask a logical, sensible question on this show. We are about finding the truth, coming to the truth. And the truth is not a convenience for some and an inconvenience for others. And I will not be apologetic to my listening audience or on behalf of someone else that doesn't want to honor that principle, doesn't want to honor my listening audience. My listening audience comes to this show to hear the truth, or the best representation of it that they feel at the moment is available, Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Pacific time, wherever you are in the world. This is not the first time this guest has given me this kind of issue. In fact, the last time I thought I was ultra patient and condescending in allowing her to avoid some certain questions that I asked. But this time, no. And I can smell an operative. I can smell someone who, behind the scenes, has got somebody else pulling their strings, telling them what to say. It ain't going to happen on this show, not on Evident Footprints. And it's not going to happen on BBS Radio, I can tell you that, not if I have anything to do with it. I'm told we have a caller on the line. Can you state your name, please?
Yes, this is Reverend Roxy Don.
I cannot hear any sound whatsoever.
This is Reverend Roxy Don.
Whoever is engineering, can you turn up the sound? I'm still not hearing anything.
Reverend Roxy.
Okay, I can hear. Rev, how are you?
I am absolutely blessed, and so are you. I can hear through the show. I was listening.
How am I blessed?
How are you blessed? Because you can cleanse the heavenly sanctuary that we call BBSradio.com. And that is exactly, for those of you that were listening, if those of you who are listening don't understand what it is that we are doing, then I guess you've seen it in practice this evening. I believe that you were not aggressive. God praise your assertiveness and your way in which you tried to deal with her. She was not going to give you that room, and this is what we've been talking about from the very beginning. We can't mince words. We're not going to dress up the truth so that we can lead you by the nose. You got to discern it, you got to hear it, and you got to deal with it. And tonight, in this lady saying that she's going to sculpt the truth because some people ain't ready for it, we know exactly what's getting ready to happen and what the judgment is. And I am just wanted to call and say that I am glad that you cleansed yourself of that unclean spirit that was tripping. That's what I say. She was tripping with no luggage on her way to Switzerland about to freeze to death.
Amen.
You know?
Go ahead, preach.
It's not preaching. It's reacting to the fact that this woman could not in any way, shape, or form, with all her spirituality and her ability to counsel and says all the good work she's doing, not to hear you. You heard her. And as you shook the tree, as I like to say, as you shook that tree, we found out there was nothing behind it. There was no experience whatsoever behind what she was talking about. It wasn't one good reason for her to say the things that she said. And everybody heard it, and I just wanted to put it out there that it has to be done, that we can't mince words. We have to put it where it is. The Creator put it in the spin. And the Creator is God. There is nothing else beyond God. Open up any book, and when it is, it becomes something stupid, which is Satan. Or it becomes something which is self, which is the reason why we are out here on probation instead of in paradise. You see what I'm saying?
Amen. I hear you.
So I just want you to get on back with your show and do what you do.
Well, I got me another guest. Why don't you stay on, Rev?
All right. Well, then take us somewhere, Don, because you're one of the most... That was an evident footprint there. I'm glad you stomped it out, because we got better things to talk about, I'm sure. The good news and the information. Now, I'd like to talk more about what Obama and McCain have been saying today about the economy, you know?
Well, yeah, we'll get around to that. Let me introduce you to the listening audience, folks. This
is
Reverend Roxy Hampton, who also goes by the name The Boss RJ. She is the boss of Mission Possible Radio on Sundays, right? Sunday at, I have to think of the time slot, 9 p.m.
Not the same as you, actually. I'll come on. When it's midnight in New York and it's 9 o'clock
nine p.m. Pacific.
And it's been a pleasure.
And you're also on the Insight Hour quite frequently with Dr. Len Horowitz too.
Oh my goodness, that's my main Kazan. Oh, Dr. Len Horowitz is the man, and he's also the man who gave me the opportunity to grace his show and then to be a partner with him in the energy of the Inside Hour on Tuesday. Super Tuesday, I call it.
Well, let's just wrap up this little issue, because I just want to drive home the point that I was making, and the engineers told me somebody was on the line here. So, you know, it was strange. You know, when someone asks you a question, you're gonna be a representative of truth. You're gonna be a light bearer. You're gonna stand on your convictions, on your experience, on your knowledge. I'm not talking about belief, okay? Belief in some mumbo jumbo ether that no one can touch, no one can hold in their hand, no one can see or hear or discern. And to make excuses for what one is going to say on the basis of wanting to accommodate someone that's not even going to listen to your message. Do atheists go to church and sit there and shout out amen to the reverend of the church as he's bringing forth the word of God? Do they say, go on, preacher, amen? Do they do that? No, they don't even approach the church. Now, that there may be exceptions. There may be that individual atheist out there or agnostic that's going to go to a church service to see, to learn something about God. But you have to start at least with the intention that there is something, another option than to remain in a state of unbelief. Now, I'm just making an observation. That's not intended to mock anyone who is an atheist. They have their reasons for feeling that way, but atheism itself is a belief. And so I am not, you know, I'll talk about God. Atheists are going to be there anyway. Okay? I mean, since when is atheism a right that is to be protected? That's between that person and whomever they worship. I don't really care to know, because if they're not worshiping God, they're worshiping something else or nothing. I have nothing in common with them at that point until they can come to some recognition that this thing we call the universe was created by someone or something. And to turn it into a nothingness, there's nothing to talk about. I don't know if I'm even making sense, Rev.
Oh, well, you know what I usually counsel people who come up against people like that when they start to spin? I settle them into the fact that there is a difference between atheism and agnosticism. We know that, but the word here that you're dealing with was spiritualism. Now, What happens when you get into spiritualism is that you begin to deny the Bible, you begin to deny the personality of God, you begin to deny the divinity of Christ, you begin to deny all of the things, you begin to say things that don't make any sense, and your life begins to make no sense, and no one wants to hear in an enlightened world, so you find the darkness, and there you stay until the judgment day, when all the records will be brought about. And for those who doubt, for those who doubt that there is a hereafter, that there isn't a judgment coming, go ahead. Wait until the last minute. This is what I tell them. And you know what happens? They just get so joyful because they say, I'm not even there yet. I don't even want to go there. So when I get around an individual who is not well-welded, cemented in their faith, they get shaky. And when they have to pay their bills, or when they have to cajole people to read their books because they can't point to the truth of the matter that God was within that book and God inspired them to write that book or to say that wonderful things, when they can really get into the fact that we can't worship the self no longer, that it has brought us to this point and to this brink where we are all suffering from a great disease that we must now bring ourselves out of. And the only way to do that is to come back to God, to respect God, and to respect that which the Son of Man, who came with the message, the guy said, please, everybody, just love one another. See, if this woman had been skillful, she'd still be talking and I'd be listening. Because the most important thing to do is to remember that when you get into it, when you leave out God, there are those of us out here who are holding on to the reins of what it is we know to be true, that we are not going to let go of them. So, well, I'll tell you, this is how I wind it up. just because a fool get on BBS radio don't mean that this station is not going to go in the proper direction. You see, and you proved that tonight. How's that for a wind-up?
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, you know, there we can draw a parallel to the other topic that you had brought up. And you and I have been communicating in the last couple of days off the air, of course. And nobody really knows that, but we can share that with them. There's nothing to hide about that because we're discerning what's going on, okay? Do you not find it interesting that the first person to run for president was Ron Paul, but nobody mentions Ron Paul? And then we had the, it was like the Kentucky Derby and the Pimlico and the Preakness, you know, or the Belmont Stakes, I should say. They had this field of 24 horses, 12 people on each side. Running for the presidency, and they were bringing him out of the woodwork. They had to bring Fred Thompson out of Law and Order, you know, his cameo appearances. They had to bring him on, and there were people the night he appeared. Oh yes, I like his ideas and his policies. Yes, and I'm going to vote for Fred Thompson. I mean, the guy didn't speak for 5 minutes, and already he's going to be the next president of the United States. It was ridiculous. Both sides of the political spectrum. I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican, liberal or conservative. We watched this game being manipulated, and we heard nothing about the votes the voting process other than the corruption. Okay, nobody wanted to pay attention to that. It was like what I went through on my show tonight. You know, there's a God in heaven who's created everything that exists out of his oneness, out of his word. And I'm seeing that word being violated. I'm seeing all ethics in the political system being violated. I'm seeing human relations being violated and really attacked from this dark side. And from this negative side, from this demonic side, or like you like to say, Rev, stupid side. And
yes,
I'm seeing it everywhere. And these people come out of nowhere. And it's not about a black man against a white man or a black man against a white woman. That's not where I'm coming from at all. These people are not who they say they are, and the ones pulling the strings know darn well that that's the case. Okay,
you know,
so
it is true what you're saying, and I can only say this. I take off my, what has become carefully. I have to speak as a citizen, but as a citizen, I'm allowed to speak until they tell me you're not a citizen no more. We don't count you as a citizen no more. I have to say that for me, is this evolution of the choices between what we have running right now. It's not a surprise to me. I saw Vernon Jordan on the transition team of the Clintons, and I have really understood poverty lawyers. I understand the lawyers of the Children's Defense Fund, and I understand how people have moved through the system by championing those who have not. And in those fields come 1992, it's not like he came out of nowhere. It's just that he got next to the right people to do the right things that he needed to do. And it isn't until you begin to look at the cadre of money and the monies that have been put behind this man, not whether he's black or white, but the money that is behind him that has no conscience, has nothing. It's just people living out their lives, holding on to the lie. So when you begin to look at it, you see in Obama the King Alfred plan coming to life, and this is what I've been talking about. There's a plan to, this is a plan to either take out all black people when we get uppity, when we realize that we have been had, and the black leaders who want to play the game get to play the game. But those of us who see the game, we will be eliminated. And the way you get eliminated is to be ignored. And that's how Ron Paul was done. The media had to do this. They want their paycheck. They want their investments. They don't want no one pulling the rug out. And they say everything's going to be fine if you just do as you're told. That doesn't sound like democracy. It sounds like fascism. It sounds like 1932 all over again in terms of how even Hitler gained his power after he got close to the people that he needed to do. So on a spiritual tip, I am in a position to sit back and watch this man who's a political science genius, a lawyer, a man who is well-read, has studied and has had, Kissinger, Bush, Brzezinski, they've all been talking to this man. He's likable. He's listening. He's doing what they need to do so that they can move on. He's Operation Star. He's that knockout punch for democracy so that they can get over with it. It's probably going to be the first free election that we have where we get to elect a fascist president. And so how do I, as a reverend, just like how did the Pope conduct himself in Solvay and in Auschwitz, how will I behave as whatever's coming down comes down? That's what it's about, and that's why I'd rather talk about God and spirituality, not spiritualism, but the spirit itself and the Holy Ghost, and I want to talk about Jesus, and I want to talk about the Genesis, and I want to talk about Old Testament, New Testament, and I just want to discourse on the heavenly matter. And so, that's what Reverend Roxy does. But on Sundays, I'm going to together, and I'm hoping that people will listen. How's that?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's how they say there's two sides to every coin, right? You can look at these candidates that we have right now, and it didn't matter which two of the three that were the finalists, will say, they're all supporting the same, or they're all puppets of the same machine. They're all going to kowtow to the same interests. There's a difference in the perception of the public, because you have a guy who is called a war hero, although when one looks carefully into that heroism and what supports that story, there's a lot to dispute. There's a lot's been covered up, kept from the public, from the public's consciousness. And they've done that through the media.
Not those old timers, though.
What's
that?
We
know. When I look at McCain, I see Keating 5. When I look at McCain, I see a man who allowed another man to steal other people's livings and earnings and spent 2 years keeping a secret until he had to come forth and be clean. When I look at McCain, I see a man whose wife lied about her drug addiction. When I look at them, they are who they are. Like I say all the time on my show, our deeds with us on the farm, what we have been, make us what we are. You know, and so I think that what is our duty and what I love about you is just to take us back, Don. Like I said, evident footprints. Big old Sasquatch footprints. Dig them up. Show them. Cast them in alabaster, you know what I'm saying? So that when people look, they can say, oh, yeah, that is Obama's footprint. Oh, yeah, he was here. Oh, I guess we can't ignore it any longer. Or, oh, yeah, McCain said that, and okay, that wasn't true. But I think more than anything, we have to wake up from the denial. Oh, yeah, everybody lies. Everybody lies to get in office. But, you know, it's what happens when they get in. He's got to say those things because that's not how you get. That's not how you get into heaven, and that's not how we should be getting into the highest office in the land.
Yeah, yeah, we're hypocrites to just put up with it and just to take it.
That's the biggest
form of hypocrisy, is denial or making this proclamation. Well, you can't change it. Well, that attitude, you ain't going to change nothing. You know, why are you here? Why are you living if you don't intend to change anything? Affect some kind of positive change on things, like you said. And like even my guest that's off the show, she said, yeah, well, there seems to be an imbalance of the dark energy. Well, let's not just focus on the dark energy. Let's talk about why there's this imbalance. and what is light energy? We never got around to that, you know?
No, because she can't say his name. He can't give it up to the Creator. She can't look outside her door and see the sun. She got to have appreciation when you look and you can model. If you blast that, that's what the cowards, to see all this marvel and not want to see your link to that marvelous universe and to have had it told to you that you are linked through your DNA to the divine. How not want to utter the divine's name when he's come here so many times and told you, this is my name, say my name. And if you can't say the name, if you want to try and gather all the people together, then they will be a weak, weak, weak addition to the kingdom of heaven, and they will never get in, because that's just not how you get in there, as far as I'm concerned, which is right here. So she didn't get in tonight, and I want to thank you for that. It's getting to be about 8:02. I don't know.
We're still cool. We got started late, so.
Oh, cool. You know.
We got. I'm looking forward
to working with you too. You know, Don. I don't know if your listeners know, but we're getting ready to work. All of us going to be working together on a very fine. This is where we're going to get the consensus and the bouncing back and forth on Dr. Len's little jewel that he's given us all. What is it called? Conscious what?
Conscious connections.
Yeah, it is. That's it. Conscious connection. That's what's going on here on BBSRadio.com.
Well, you know, you were mentioning God and the fact that you are not going to allow any message to deny you that right to speak about God. And that, in essence, you know, I'm paraphrasing what I was saying. I'm not going to deprive my listening audience of that. And you know what? If there's somebody out there that's uncomfortable, you know, there's an on-off switch. You know, you got a volume control, you got a mouse, you can click somewhere else. You know, I'm not trying to chase anybody away. But I'm not going to couch my words, because someone's uncomfortable, approaching the truth. I asked a question, and I'm not trying to re-dig this up. I'm getting ready to testify, I guess.
Do it.
That, you know, I've had some experiences in my life where God is very real, and I don't say was real, because he's always, okay? So he's in the now. So God is very real, and there's nothing that anyone can tell me that's going to change my perception of that. It's going to change my experience. I don't have to believe in something I know. It's a conviction that consumes me 100%. So there's no way that I'm going to lower the bar to meet someone else's comfort level. Now, I will allow any caller that's searching for the truth to come in and tell me why they are interested in learning about God. That's our opportunity to testify or to express our faith and our knowledge, to share the truth with that person. But I'm not going to call that, you know, that person is not going to call in and tell me I'm stupid for believing in God. That person ain't going to last 5 seconds. Now, how long is a guest going to last? Approaching it from that, right?
Yeah. Hey,
the truth is the truth, okay? And I think, you know, you brought up, you want to talk about God. We talked a little bit about the political process, but it's the same thing. There's no difference. Everything comes from the Word. Ultimately, it comes from the Word. In all these different ways people act out their experiences in life are deviations from the Word. That all the different problems are related to the deviations from the Word. Ultimately, it all has to come back together. Does it not, Rev?
Oh, it all comes back, because you know what's really going on, Don, as you speak? It just brings me back to the promises God made to Abraham, and that promise was to inherit the land. That was the promise, and that is the promise, and that land, that which is here for us, to see is what we are being asked to save. And for me, it all comes back to love. It all comes down to love. And so therefore, I spend every day looking to the good books of wisdom, filling my mind not with fodder, but with the promises that God has made me and reminding me of those promises and then going out and reminding other people of promises. We must not forsake God, but God is our power, you see. And when we take that, they don't understand that. And then they show themselves, you see, and that's what happens. And so, Don Nicolau, God bless you. God bless your listening audience. And I just look forward to hearing more of what God has told you to look up, you know what I'm saying, because we're going to make sense of this all, and then we're going to forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing, you know, when you really get down to it, darkness or whatever. And the other thing for those people who may be, you know, Buddhist and other things, remember, Confucius said this, and I find this to be very true for those people, that a life without God is like a night without stars.
And I hear birds singing in the background.
Yeah, it's the Kokies over here. We've got jungle. I've got life all around me. I'm in the middle of a jungle. That's what makes this technology so beautiful. In Jesus Christ Superstar, they said, if you come today, you would have reached a whole nation. Israel in 4 BC had no mass communication. The prophets that are speaking today have BBSRadio.com, and Evident Footprints, and Mission Possible, Inside Hour, and all the other great shows out there. And I give thanks to God for all of that. Don, I'm going to let you have your show back.
Oh, I love having you with me. It's been great. No, stay another moment or so if you would.
Okay, I will.
In listening to you, and I hear the conviction in what you're saying, because you know we enter into a space where we confront those that would hide the truth from us, and try to color a picture that they like to call reality, and they present this picture to us, and they say, okay, this is the picture of what life is and what your reality is. This is the safe places. These are the places, the forbidden lands. This is where you don't go. This is what you don't talk about. We have all these rules, and there's all this fear, and there's all this darkness, and yet those of us that are searching for the truth, and though or have found the truth and are bringing the truth forward or shining the light of the truth for those others that are looking for it, don't have that spirit of fear within us. We can confront this evil or this darkness or this nothingness or this stupid, as you like to call it. We can confront it and know that it's like a game. You know, they attack the networks that are the truth networks, and they attack the hosts of the shows, and they attack the websites, and they attack the email. And the regular Joe out there is oblivious to this. You know, mom and pop, American Pie, bless their hearts, they don't even see what's going on. So they can't even enter into any of this argument or any of this discussion beyond what their everyday experience is within the frame of the matrix. That, you know, it's the survival matrix, or it's the reality of being married and having 10 kids and just dealing day to day, just going from one gear to the next, you know, kind of like a machine, like an automaton. And we see people waking up. Where are you seeing people wake up, Rev, in your experience?
Well, I see people waking up when I make them aware of the fact that they are akin to God. You know what I'm saying? When you really get down to it, that it's more not so much of God, when we was created in his image, but not only were we created in his image, but we're a part of his family, a family of the heavenly host. And that includes my brother, my super brother, Satan, who got so superior that he thought he could take over God's place, that he could set up shop in heaven and do what he wants. And because God loved him so much, he said, boy, you better get on out of here and get on down to earth. You got a little training to do. And if there's anybody else that got this stupid thought, you see what I'm saying? And how we know these things and where I tell people to go when they want to increase their faith is just to open up that Bible, because it's a record of the beginning of the human race. And look at how we bit into that apple because we was curious, and how we are still curious today, so curious that a lot of us have seen God as opposed to glory in man and in money, and that we look to the good book, and when we open it up, it reminds us, even right in the beginning in Genesis 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became, and this is the most important thing for everybody to remember, and this is where we're getting to it, a living soul. Oh, my goodness. If we could just all talk about the soul life, and you know about soul. I know you know, Don.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can declare that we are part of this creation and that we are part of the divinity, that we are part of God, and that our ancestry goes back so far, you know what I'm saying, that there is no one else to look to. There's a star or someone who will bring us out of anything. We are all as brilliant as the one when we polish ourselves. So that's what we down here doing. So when I find people that are questioning and saying, well, what am I supposed to be doing if I do try to get into a church or if I do try to go to Bible study, I said, bring to the table the fact that you are a relative of God, that you are akin to God. And then sit back and listen. And the people that you agree with you and say, so am I, I'm a child of God, I'm akin to God, yeah, those are the people that you're going to move through life with, grieve through life with, suffer with, be joyful with. And the rest of them, they'll be in the lake of fire. They'll be so miserable and so everything that they won't have time, because that's what happens when you distance yourself from God. There's no hope, there's no faith, there's no charity, there's just dog eat dog, bite eat bite, and I don't want to play that game, you know. And so that's did I answer the question?
You did. You know what was coming to my mind, and you know, we have people that say, you know, you got to love everybody. I mean, that's in God's word, right? We're all one. So what is it that we hate about what these people are doing? Well, that's it. It's what they do. You see, I don't hate people. I hate what people do.
Well, then listen to what the master said when he was here on the planet. He said, you go into a town, and they reject this word of love, and they start beating you up and stuff, and they start keep doing stupid. You're supposed to turn right around, and you're supposed to shake that dust. You're supposed to make for the border, and you're supposed to shake the dust off your feet and move on to where the message can be heard, you see. For God will take care of them. Just because it looked like they getting over, there's a bigger plan, and they said no to the plan, so there's nothing else for them to do but to see the ruin and the folly of saying no to God, of not being able to worship and have appreciation for God. Those are the ones who will be consumed and thrown into the lake of fire. And that means is that we'll be here, and it's going to take everything in our power not to want to help them, but God's going to say, look, you want to help them, you go over there and live with them. And we don't have to just stay on the side. We'll be in the garden of bliss, and they'll be in the lake of fire. This is what I believe in. This is what Frank Capra taught me to believe in a wonderful life.
You know, another thing, Rev, is that Satan, when he was in heaven as the chief musician, and I'm almost embarrassed to say that, the chief musician in heaven, and he dared to be God. He dared to defy God. And God had to turn him into instant ugly, because down here, he, how many times is it said in the Bible that he disguises himself as an angel of light? So he is no longer
beautiful.
The individual he was in heaven. He's ugly.
He was beautiful. Don, he was a beautiful, beautiful angel. But as soon as he got that thought of self-deception that he wanted to experience what it was to be God, to have to be looked at like a God, not to just be the musician and the leader of the choir and the heavenly chorus. That's the sin. But see, that's not man's sin. Man's sin was going against God, you see. Satan's sin was not bowing down to man, making man his enemy when God created us and said, look, this is even greater than you. This my finest creation. And Satan said, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be your finest creation. I'm the one that's walked over the coals and the fire. I'm fire. You said I'm the one. Oh, mm-hmm. When he saw Adam, he just went ballistic. And that's where the rebellion went in. It went mm-hmm. into the rejection of creation. At least this is the way I see it, you know, as I read. And I say, this is what's going on today. You know, this is exactly what's going on today.
Well, these are the same tactics. I mean, these tactics
yeah.
have lasted for thousands of years. Why change them now? You
exactly.
see?
Exactly. Especially when you've gone to such great lengths to put the hunger, you see, when Eve ate the apple, she wasn't even hungry. She was just curious. Now, so much promise, so much shiny silver dollars out there, Satan's going to have a good time with a lot of you. But if you can find people who are strong in faith, Satan don't even show up. Stupid don't even come round because he stands out. And it's that ability to deceive and to be invisible that Satan likes. So start pointing out stupid when you see it, folks. When you see people who are not of God, make them aware of what their duty as a human being is supposed to be and that they are akin to God, and they better start acting like it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting to see that one individual that's going to show me how to walk on quicksand.
Well, I think it's even more important that we just stay away from the quicksand. We can see it before it even comes up. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to walk over it.
Oh,
I don't
no, I'm not. I'm not
God.
Saying I want to do that.
Live.
I'm just saying, yeah. You know, it's getting that ridiculous. You know.
Yeah. Well, all I can say to everybody is keep the faith. And you will win the race, and they will go down in disgrace, and those who are proper will be in their place, and we will all be found. Thank you.
Amen. Well, Rev Roxy, it's been a pleasure to have you on my show tonight. I thought I was going to have to do this alone after that unfortunate, but maybe it's actually fortunate.
God's plan, you know. And she had to listen to this, and her listeners, I hope, had to listen to this. And for those of you out there who think that you need to go through someone, just know you just got to go right with God and then find people who are right with God and then experience your life as a living soul here on this planet.
Yeah, amen. You know, I'm not going to curtail anyone's right to bring their message to this show. But at the same time, I'm not going to have my right to speak my truth taken away.
Oh, she should have just gone. She should have just, the language was the language. She didn't understand that she didn't need to teach you anything. That the language was there for you guys to continue. But she had a duty to her sworn allegiance to other people that she gets her money from. Not to let you do that. I've run into this in Sedona a lot, you know, and other places. They're all deceived. It's too hot out there for them. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go. I'm going to hang up the phone on you, Mr. Don Nikoloff, and say goodnight to your listeners.
Okay, you're going to have to come back again.
I'd love to come back. You just call me. I'm always here listening to you.
You got to send me your number, girl. So
okay, I'll talk to you on Skype. See you on Skype.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right. You take care. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. We had two guests tonight. First one I had to excuse. And out of respect for my listening audience and the network and the truth. And then we had Reverend Roxy Hampton, surprise caller. I was very happy to have her come on, sort of clear the air. And we got a great show for you tomorrow night. I guarantee you it's not going to be fireworks like tonight. In the meantime, I would like to thank Don Newsom, Seth Hendrick, and Marcella on the sound. And everyone, have a night filled with peace, love, and light. And tomorrow's another day, so I'm going to wish you good night.
Details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.
Wave of the future.